John 14, 26, are you there? But the Comforter, now that's the Paraclete, that's the term that's used in the dictionary. He comforts and he assists and he helps. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. What's he going to teach you? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever said unto you. All right? It's this simple. The Holy Spirit is the only teacher, is the only preacher that can straighten you out on the Word of God. There's not a preacher in the world that can help you with the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you all things and brings all things to your remembrance. Now, you know, the world is full of religion. Matter of fact, there's a religion for everything under the sun. The devil is the author of religion. Matter of fact, if none of the thousands and tens of thousands of religions, if you can't find one to suit you, the devil will invent one just for you. I mean, you can start your own as far as that goes. And so God is not the author of confusion. The Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you and bring all things to your remembrance. And so this old world is full of religion. Why are we so messed up when it comes to the things of God, the things of the Bible? It has to do with that there is a real devil. There is a devil, and he has confused the issue. Do we have anybody here that works in a bank? Anybody that works in a bank? Do we have anybody here that works in a store? You work in a store. We only got one person that works in a store. You've got a carpet store, haven't you? All right? So let me say this. You can take a $100 bill into any bank, anywhere in the country, and they know exactly to the penny what's in that $100 bill. There's never an argument. Now, they may mess up and give you the wrong change, or they may mess up there, but when it comes to how much money is in a $100 bill, there's no argument. What it'll buy is irrelevant. I mean, it'll buy carpet at a carpet store, and it'll buy food at a grocery store and gas at a gasoline station. And, it'll buy different things. But everybody, every banker, everybody in every store in the country knows exactly to the penny what's in a $100 bill. And yet we're so messed up and mixed up on the Bible that we don't even know if we're coming or going. You know why? There's only one teacher. There's only one teacher. Now, I, as a preacher, can bring these things to your remembrance. I can help you to understand. Your pastor can preach a message, and that can be used of God to open your understanding. But outside of the Holy Spirit, there is no understanding of the Word of God. And so how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, hath a doctrine. I don't know if I quoted that right or not. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Let's turn there. I'm always getting that confused, and you don't need to do that. So let's see if I'm right here. I'm right again. My. That's amazing. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now the implication here and the indication is that these things should not be. How is it? How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm? hath a doctor. Hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So therefore, the Bible plainly tells us that God says exactly the same thing to everybody, everywhere. He doesn't have one message for these people on this side and another message for the people over here. He doesn't have another message for a different church. And so if somebody's wrong, it's not God, it's us. And I've always based my life on let every man be a lie and let God be the truth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. All right? And so, it's like this. I'm wrong. But every time I'm wrong, God gives me the answer to what's right. God helps me to know what's right. God is leading me. And so I've been wrong all my life. But I'm in good company because you've been wrong all your life too. Because the Bible says, let every man be a lie and let God be the truth. So therefore, if I enter in from that precept, then I understand that I am in the process of being made right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means they're passing away. I mean, you know, they haven't passed away in my life yet, because the Bible says that when this old corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then I'll be like the Lord, okay? So I've still got a ways to go. Now, I don't know exactly where I am. Jokingly, I told Brother Ross that I knew it all. Well, I don't know anything, you know. I'm one of the dumbest people in the whole world, and I get dumber by the year. I don't get smarter, I get dumber. Is that the way it is with you? And the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. All right? And you take a teenager. I mean, they know it all. They have arrived on the scene. But you know, the more you live, the more you realize that you're wrong. And so, the Holy Spirit is a paraclete. Say that word, paraclete. I didn't say keet, I said clete. Not a bird, but a comforter. All right? Paraclete with a C. Paraclete. Say it one more time. Paraclete. Now you look that word up in the dictionary, and you'll see that it says the Holy Spirit. All right? So we see that the Holy Spirit is the comforter that comes in to comfort us in times of trouble. He is the teacher that teaches us the Word of God. Nobody can teach you the Bible except the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm thankful that God uses me and helps me to be used, and I want to be used, but I realize that many times I'm wrong. Have you ever come to the realization that you're wrong? One of the things that makes the Baptists right is that they're always wrong. Have you ever noticed that? Have you heard about the fighting Baptist, you know? Because, you know, if you've got something wrong, some other Baptist preacher or some deacon or some Sunday school teacher say, hey, you're wrong there. I was wrong on a verse for many, many years, and my wife straightened me out. God help her. I mean, you know, it's a shame when a wife has to straighten her husband out. But you know, the Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. Right? Wrong. Didn't say that, did it? That one little word will mess you up. Huh? Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, when you don't feel like it, you go to church anyway. You go to work anyway because of the money. So when you don't feel like it, you go to church anyway. And so the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your teacher. He's going to teach you all things. Now, let me give you some paracletes in the Bible. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. If you want to turn there, we will. J- Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, right after Judges, right? If I can find it there, I'm going to get there one of these days. What's that? Right off the bat. I still haven't found it. I'm just going to tell you what it says because of the time involved. But Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, if you got it there. The Bible says that Naomi had two daughter-in-laws, and they both clung to Ruth, to Naomi, and Orpha, she clung to her, and she said, now, she said, I don't have any more sons that y'all get married. You go back to your people. You go back to your gods. And so Orpha hugged her mother-in-law and left. She was not a paraclete. She didn't get a hold with dear life. Now, Ruth, she clung to her, and she said, I'm not going back. Where you go, I go, and where you lodge, I lodge, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Ruth became a paraclete. She held on. She attached herself. As a result of becoming a paraclete to Naomi, Ruth was the grandmother of Jesse, the great-grandmother of King David, the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if you want to get close to the Lord, just get a hold and hang on real tight. Become a paraclete. Ruth was a paraclete. She was going to stay no matter what. Are you a paraclete to the Lord Jesus Christ? Every one of us should get a hold of the Lord. Now, He's got a hold of us. The Holy Spirit's our paraclete, but we ought to get a hold of the Lord and say, I will not let you go. I'm not going to do it. I won't let you go. Now, if you remember, Jacob was a man that was doing the right thing in the wrong way. I've done plenty of that, haven't you? Jacob was a man that was doing the right thing in a wrong way. He stole the blessing and the birthright. And Esau said, I'm going to kill you. You're a dead man. Just as soon as daddy dies, you're a dead man. I'm going to get you. So Jacob runs for his life. He goes to his uncle Laban's house and lives for 20 years. And now he's going to go home. It's time for him to go home with his family. And he hears, Esau's coming. 400 men with him. Jacob got real nervous because the last he heard of Esau was, you're a dead man. I'm going to kill you. So he puts his cattle out front and his sheep and his servants and his concubines and then Leah and then Rachel. And then that night, Jacob goes across the brook all night long. Well, when you're alone, that's a good time for Jesus to show up, isn't it? Jesus showed up on the scene. And the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus in the Old Testament, and so the angel of the Lord and Jacob and Jesus wrestled all night long. By the way, if you've got some real problems in your life, I'd recommend you get into a good wrestling match with Jesus. They wrestled all night long. And then the dawn began to break, and the sun was maybe beginning to come up over the horizon just a little bit, And Jesus said to Jacob, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. That should be our wrestling match with Jesus. I will not let you go. I won't let you go. You're not getting out of here. I won't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me. Now, the blessings of God are not always in the appearance of a blessing, are they? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that sometimes the blessings come in a way that we would not call them a blessing? So Jesus says to Jacob, okay, I'll bless you. What is your name? Now, his name was admitting who he was, what he was. He was a liar, a schemer, a trickster, a... I mean, he was just not a very nice person. He was God's man, but he was not a nice person. And you know, that's the way it is a lot of times with God's man. He's God's man, but he's not a very nice person. God wants to make him a nice person, all right? God wants to do a work in your life. And so we see that he said, okay, I'll bless you. What is your name? My name is Jacob. Okay, your name will no longer be Jacob. Jacob also meant, in addition to the bad things, it also meant that he was a prince with men. And Jesus said to Jacob, he said, now you've been a prince with men all these years. How's that worked out for you? How's that worked out for you? Not too good. Your brother wants to kill you. Your father-in-law hates you. It's just not very nice, is it? So your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will be Israel. And Israel means a prince with God. And as Jesus was leaving that day, he reached over and he hit Jacob on the thigh, knocked his thigh out of joint, and for the rest of his life, Jacob halted on his thigh. For the rest of his life. Jacob becomes a paraclete to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Ruth did. Are you a paraclete to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a paraclete to your church? Now, I don't know if you know. Maybe you do and maybe you don't. But I don't know if you have sense enough to know what you've got here. Do you? You've got one of the greatest churches in the country right here. A country church out in the middle of nowhere, one of the great churches of America. Do you even realize what you've got? Now, are you a paraclete or are you a troublemaker? A paraclete to this church would be saying, I'm going to get a hold of this church and I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to do everything that I can to make this church what it ought to be. This church has great potential. This church has seen literally thousands of people saved. Matter of fact, my wife and I stayed at the Days Inn, and the lady that signed us in last night, she said, oh, my two children got baptized at Blessed Hope Baptist Church several years ago. I'm sure they're probably not here now, but, you know, praise the Lord they got saved. But I would ask you the question, are you a paraclete to this church? Or are you a taker? Are you a giver? Or are you a taker? I dare say that there are some people in here today that you can't afford to tithe. Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. You poor old people, you can't even afford to tithe. You don't make that much money. If you had 1 1/2 cents, you'd realize that you can't afford not to tithe. I'll promise you, God can do more with your 90% than you can. But if you take His 10%, He'll not rebuke the devourer. He'll say, okay, devourer, go ahead and get it. But there are some people, you know, you just can't afford to do that. Yeah. And I don't care who you are, you can afford to get a hold of this church and be a part of this church 100%. I'm reminded of the richest. Do you know who the richest person in heaven is? Does anybody have any? I know who the richest person in heaven is. Do you have any idea who the richest person in heaven is? Anybody? One day, Jesus was watching the offering. And these rich people, they was coming along, they was holding up their gold and their silver and dropping it in so it would jingle. They wanted everybody to see what they was giving. And this little old widow woman, she had 2 mites. And she come up and she sneaked it in. She didn't want anybody to know what she was giving. Jesus said, hold it, wait a minute. Did you see what she did? She's given more than y'all. He was not speaking figuratively, he was speaking literally. You know why I know that? You know why I say that? There was no record made of those rich people that put their money in that offering plate. But there was a record made of those 2 mites that went in that offering. I don't know of any other record, do you? Have you ever heard the old thing about the, would you rather have a penny a day and double it for 30 days or to have $1 million? Which would you choose? You'd choose the penny a day because the penny a day becomes about $3 million. It takes it a long time to build up. So it took a long time for those two mites to become four mites. And 8 and 16 and 32 and 64 and 128 and 256 and on up the line. I'll tell you one thing, that little old widow woman is racking up billions of dollars on interest in heaven right now. And I dare say she is the richest person in all of heaven. So when you say, I can't afford to do that, you need to check your brain. And you need to become a paraclete to this church. You need to get a hold to this church. You need to get a hold to Brother Ross. Say, listen, what can I do? You see, there's a lot of people that's wanting to do something for honor and glory and praise of men. That's the way it is. Many people are that way. But you know what? We ought to just become a paraclete to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get a hold of Him. We ought to get a hold of His church. We ought to get a hold of His pastor and say, you know what I would do if there was no jobs around here? If there were no jobs around here, you know what I'd do? I'd find me one. You say, well, they won't let me do anything. You mean to tell me they won't let you rake leaves? You mean to tell me that they won't let you pick up sticks? You mean to tell me that if you go out there and wash one of those buses, somebody's going to say, don't you wash that bus. That's my bus. I wash that bus. Huh? Do you mean to tell me that you can't find something to do? You can find something to do. Becoming a paraclete. Get a hold of it. Join yourself to it. Get a hold of it. Make it a part of your life. Some things that are paracletes, I named Ruth and Jacob. Some things that are not paracletes would be a baby. A baby is not a paraclete. A baby is a dependent. A baby takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and gives nothing back. I mean, it takes milk, and what it gives back stinks. But, come on, settle down. But that baby is a paraclete in the making. When that baby is a year old, they can pick up the toys out of the floor. You know, I look back on my life with shame. I used to make my mom pick up my socks. You know why? Because she didn't make me. Young man, you pick those up. She just said, well, it's easy for me to do it than him, you know. So she did it. That's a shame. From the very beginning, teach your little babies to pick up the toys out of the floor and put them in the toy box. And then that gets to where that they can do other chores around the house. And the first thing you know, they can wash the dishes and vacuum the floors and carry in the wood, coal, and water. Or do you do that around here? That's what I did when I was a boy. As you grow, that baby should be leaving that baby stage and becoming a paraclete. All right? Baby Christians. I mean, if you've just been saved a few weeks or a few months, praise God, you're a baby. And you're to be fed with the milk. But praise God when you get on to the time when that... you're going on for better things. And if you've got people in this church that have been here for years and years and years, and all they do is take and take and take and take and not give and give and give, they're not a paraclete. Become a paraclete. Now, most politicians are not paracletes. Have you noticed that? Poly means many. And ticks are bloodsuckers. And then there are some people with an agenda. Matter of fact, we have the Ministry of Faith Music Missions, and it's worldwide, and praise the Lord that God has used that. But we've had people to come along and take a big chunk out of that for themselves to make their own little deal. And instead of them giving and making and helping us to become bigger and better and greater and doing more for the cause of Christ, they want to take their little chunk. And then there was a businessman that came to our church, and he wanted name recognition, and when he didn't get that, then he paddled on down the road. He was not a paraclete. All right? But we need people to become paracletes, not parasites. A parasite takes and takes and takes and takes and takes. A paraclete gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. Parasites will cause church splits. Paracletes build the church. They build up the cause of Christ. And then one final thing, and I think I'm going to hear about 20 after, as I said. Every cell in my body is a paraclete. My body is made up of billions and billions and billions upon billions of cells. And you know, not one of the cells in my body is jealous over another cell. Isn't that right? Now, matter of fact, the Bible says the eye cannot say to the ears or whatever that I have no need of thee. The hands, you know, the hands, they all work together. My whole body works together. Every cell in my body is a paraclete that would give its life for my body. Matter of fact, when I get just a little bit of infection somewhere, white corpuscles in my blood rush to the scene. They're the soldiers, and they come and they attack 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 and they build up and they build up, and it don't look too good. But praise the Lord, they give their life for that little bit of infection. I remember when I was a kid, I got a splinter in my finger there, and I didn't realize it. I thought I got it out, but it actually stayed in there, and it got infected. And that finger swelled up about twice as big as what it was. And it was so sore, I could hardly touch it. And I was babying it, and I didn't know what was wrong. And one day, I noticed a little bitty spot. And I picked at that little spot, and out came stuff. And you know what? It felt so good. So I reached down, I squeezed a little bit more, and more came out, and it felt better. You know the reason? Millions and millions of those white corpuscles gave their life for my body. Now, the day may come when you lose an arm or a leg or something. There have been people that will get an infection in their legs with diabetes or something like that, you know. And you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Well, I'm sorry, but your leg has to come off. We're going to take your leg off up to the knee. I'm sorry." Well, your whole body grieves over that, because nobody wants to lose a leg. I mean, the very thought of losing a leg, there's a lot of grief with that. But the doctor says, "Okay, we either take your leg or you give your life. You're going to die." So finally you come to the conclusion, "Well, okay, doctor, if you've got to take it off, go ahead and take it off." With much regret, you take that leg off, and you have to live the rest of your life without the use of that leg. How long has Blessed Hope been here? 40 years. Same as Bakey Road. We celebrated our 40 in last March. 40 years. In 40 years, there have been infections to come in this church. You with me? And it got so infected that finally that leg had to come off. And even though it happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago, it still hurts. And the grief of it many times is still there. But that leg had to come off for the benefit of the whole body. So my recommendation to you today is to let every cell of your body become a paraclete in this church, attaching itself to this church to become what this church can be for the glory of God. Not one cell of my body is jealous over any other cell. You know, now I've got beautiful eyes. Ask my wife if you don't believe it. One's one color and one's another color. They're two different colors, you know. And she thinks that's neat. But you know, the same cells that make up my eyes are the same cells that make up my liver. I'm so glad my liver's on the inside. Wouldn't you hate to have a liver hanging out? Wouldn't it be awful to have to go up to somebody and say, "Oh, you've got such a pretty liver"? Paraclete. Are you a paraclete to your church? Do you love your church? Do you care about your church? Make it so. Make it so. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen.